You may have heard of us, but you might not know Bank First is a community bank that has no fee ATM access, interest and perks earning checking accounts. With online and mobile banking, mortgages for every stage of life, and modern business banking for businesses, small and big. We keep it all together to put you first. Do you bank with us? You should. Bank First is an equal housing lender and a member FDIC.
And welcome to Sunday Coffee. I'm Bart Gregory along with Charlie Winfield, and we are in the Farm Bureau studios here in downtown Starkville this morning. Daylight savings time. And hey, before we talk about games yesterday and the weekend, it is daylight savings time, so everything feels a little earlier this morning, Charlie. I think it's a great thing that you have daylight savings time on the week of spring break.
That is a good thing for those who get to observe. I, unfortunately, have outgrown it.
I have, too. But I have three children, that are still enjoying their high school days or their elementary high school days that they have to get up early in the morning. And so this coming week, they will not have to worry about that. Therefore, I will not have to worry about that or listen to them whine and complain about getting up early.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a good thing.
Spring break. You know what spring break was good for me back in the day? A lot of people like to go to the beach, do things like that. For me, it was SEC tournament. I absolutely love going to the SEC tournament, and I like going and watching whomever. Like, it doesn't have to be us. One of the best trips I ever had for the SEC tournament, I guess this would have been about 92 when it was played up in Rupp Arena. Was that the right year? 92, 93? It was somewhere in there.
So when I was in high school, spring break was always the weekend of the opening weekend of the NCAA tournament. And so all day Thursday and Friday of spring break, you could just veg out on the couch and watch all these games all day Thursday and Friday. So it may have been a little bit different for you. Hey, we're in the
Farm. Yeah, so 92, let me get my facts straight here. 92 is in Birmingham.
Okay.
And I went over for that. That is when a couple of things happened that day. I got to see LSU and Tennessee play. And what was big about that LSU-Tennessee game was a couple things. When Allen Houston was at Tennessee.
Yep, and his dad was the head coach, right?
His dad was the head coach. But that is the day that Carlos Groves grabbed Shaquille O'Neal and Dale Brown then charged the court.
I remember
that. Carlos Groves. So I was there for that one. And then Alabama and Florida played. I watched that one. And Hollywood Robinson, you remember him?
Oh,
James
yeah.
Robinson.
James Robinson.
He scored about 900 points, his best. If he crossed midcourt with the ball, there was not going to be a pass made.
You know, we could do a show on Jackson High School basketball in the 1980s and 1990s. You think about all those players from Murrah that came out. Not just Jackson, but Mississippi High School basketball.
All right, so if we were to go back to that period of time, if you started with the 80s, you had Kenny Payne, Andy Kennedy, you roll into the 90s, and then you start hitting like
Othello,
Othello Harrington.
Jesse Pate. Ronnie Henderson.
All right, and so remember that team. All right, so you had the Murrah undefeated team.
And the Lawrence and County.
The Lawrence County undefeated team that
played
each
other. And the State Boys won.
They did. Vandale Thomas
and Eric Dampier. They played the dream game down at Jackson State after Murrah won the championship, and then Lawrence County won their championship. And they had the dream game down there, packed the place out. Could you imagine if you had a dream game like that today?
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, just think about how big of a story that was back then.
There was a lot better talent in the Jackson Public Schools then.
It was.
It was crazy. Like, we could go for an hour talking about guys that played at Murrah. I mean, we haven't even dented it.
Think about McDice, all the guys at Quitman, Derek McKee. Most of those guys went out of state. Most of those guys went to Alabama. Ronnie Henderson, of course.
Yeah, Terrell Green came along, went to Georgia.
Yeah.
All right, so 93, the tournament was held in Rupp Arena. And I spent the entire week. And that's when Arkansas was kind of new to the league. You had Todd Day, Oliver Miller, Jamal Mashburn was at Kentucky, Travis Ford. But that's when Rick Pitino had things going up there. And I remember going in, there were a couple of things that were in Rupp that week. The first was Maker's Mark, you know, it has that red wax label.
Yes.
They made a special blue wax labeled edition. And then, I say label, more seal. It was the
seal. It's the seal, yeah.
And the second thing that I remember was that's back when Ford Explorers were like a really big thing. And the Ford Explorer had the Eddie Bauer model.
Yes.
But they had a Rick Pitino model.
Huh. Well, hey, the SEC tournament starts this week in Nashville, and we're going to be the 9 seed. I guess we'll talk about that in just a minute. We're in the Farm Bureau studios. Farm Bureau, go with the home team at Farm Bureau. You can check them out at favorites.com. Agents all across the state of Mississippi. Whatever you need, home, life, auto, whatever you're market for in the insurance world, our friends at Farm Bureau. And this is Sunday Coffee presented by our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. Strange Brew, located on Spring Street and Highway 12. They've got the great coffee. I got the blueberry flavored coffee again this morning. It's great stuff. Got churn and spoon ice cream. It's starting to get warmer. I was thinking about ice cream earlier this week, and then yesterday I got cold again. And so in the next couple weeks, churn and spoon ice cream will be your stop to make right there by campus. They're also in Tupelo and in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and they can ship you that great coffee. I have friends and family all over the Southeast right now. I talked to some guys in Baton Rouge the other day and said, hey, I order Strange Brew Coffee from strangebrewcoffeehouse.com, and you should too. All right, Charlie, the SEC tournament starting this week in Nashville. And when you look at the bracket, we have the first game on Thursday. We're the 9 seed against the 8 seed LSU. And, of course, we beat LSU down in Baton Rouge, but what that means in the SEC tournament is not a daggum thing. All right, let's look back at yesterday.
All right, but let's talk about this for 1 second. If we had to pick an opponent, wouldn't you rather play LSU than, say, Ole Miss?
Oh, yeah.
And I get it, Ole Miss hasn't been playing good, but you just add a whole different level there. Wouldn't you rather play them than Texas A&M?
Yeah, just because of the way that A&M got after us out there in the midweek last week. We're on a 4-game losing streak. Yesterday, you had the heart ripped out of you. South Carolina led the entire game. I mean, when you start looking at the lead time in a game, the minutes of the game that were tied yesterday were 6 minutes and 3 seconds. South Carolina led 38 minutes and 36 seconds. We led for 17 seconds, one possession in the game, and that was it. So it's not like we lost a lead the entire game, and then they came back and won. So it felt like we were chasing uphill all day yesterday. Charlie, I go back and look at the stats of the game, and, of course, Josh Hubbard had 28, and you had 4 guys in double figures, Cam Matthews at 18. But to me, the entire stat that is just glaring is South Carolina scoring 44 points in the paint yesterday. And now you find yourself on a 4-game losing streak going to the SEC tournament. As of right now, Joe Lunardi still has us in the NCAA tournament, one of the last 4 teams to receive a bye. So going to Nashville, you can't go up there and play 1 game and come to the house.
No, you got to win. But I kind of said that yesterday. I'm really surprised we're not yet to the point that we're having to worry about winning 1 or 2. I guess it speaks to some of the teams that we played earlier this year continuing to win, right?
Yeah.
And, man, it's tough because it's 4 games and you look – it feels like Kentucky just kind of kept beating us, doesn't it?
Yeah. You definitely don't want to go to the tournament being one of the last 4 teams in, because then with the upsets you have in conference tournaments, it always seems like if you're a last 4 team in going into the conference tournament, then unless you win, you're not going to make it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I thought yesterday was like the big litmus test. I mean, I thought you had to win at least one of the last 2 against Texas A&M or South Carolina yesterday. Now, I will say this. Okay, let me ask you this question. I know we're kind of down about basketball right now, and I could have come in this morning and half jokingly said, hey, we're not going to talk about basketball. We haven't talked about basketball in 3 years, but no, we're going to talk about basketball. South Carolina, when we got beat by South Carolina and Columbia to start league play, let's go back to that moment. That was on a Saturday. We came in here on Sunday Coffee, and we were like, man, that's a bad loss, because Carolina was bad last year. They were not very good at all last year. And we kind of discounted their ability to beat us. And remember, we were down by 2. We had a shot to win it at the end in Columbia. And we were kind of downtrodden. Man, we can't lose games like this. Carolina is much improved over last year. Carolina is a much better basketball team than they were last year. And if you look at us, we're essentially the same team as we were last year. Am I wrong for saying
you
that?
You are wrong.
Okay.
You are wrong.
I know you add Josh Hubbard in there. You do have the ability to shoot a little bit. But what you got on the offensive end, the way the game is played now and how you can defend, you can't be as strong in defense inside of 10 feet as you were last year. I just feel like there are other teams in the league. I think South Carolina got better. We did not have that market improvement like teams like South Carolina had. Am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but because I think you have to distinguish between did we add talent and are we playing better? So I think that's the first question when you say, I don't know if you're talking about our performance hasn't gotten better, in which case I would agree, or if our talent hasn't gotten better, in which case I would disagree. Because what did you lose off last year? Are you losing games? Are you in the same spot because Tyler Stevenson's gone? Are you in the spot because Will McNair is gone? Who else do we even lose? I mean, Eric Reed? Is that? And so then what do? You bring in Josh Hubbard. The guy's made 98 three-pointers. I'd say that makes us a lot different. You've got Keyshawn Murphy a year older. I think it just comes down to, and this isn't a coaching point, that some of the guys that we've got back just aren't playing the way they need to in key spots.
Well, that's what I was going to say that in a very nice way. It seems like the 2023 version of a few of these guys were a lot better than the 2024 version.
Yeah, and I thought you went out to Texas A&M and you saw Rams play better than he has in a long time, but he went away for a while. Cam Matthews has improved. I think you'd say that, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the things that have hurt this team, one you just said, and that is the change in the defensive rules, the ability now of teams to play downhill on you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, Josh Hubbard was getting called for fouls in that Texas A&M game where he was barely in the camera picture. I mean, he was barely in the frame and just a touch. Meanwhile, down around the goal, play a one-on-one, they're just letting you beat the crap out of each other.
Well, that's why I was, you know, hey, listen, they had a drive to the rim yesterday, and I'm not coming in here. The last thing I'm about to do is talk about officiating and if you lost that game yesterday with officiating. But we were called for some things yesterday at the very end. Tolu fouled a guy, no doubt, going up for a drive to the bucket. But you look back on our end, and what our guys seem to be going through on drives to the hoop, man, we're getting absolutely hammered and nothing called. And then all of a sudden we go down, and, yeah, we hack, but they call that. I just thought that just the inconsistencies of the game and what they are calling within inside of 5 feet, it's not basketball what they're playing inside of 5 feet at all.
No, it's not. And I go back to that A&M game. Part of the reason people say, well, where was Tolu? They were getting away with so much away from the ball on him. But at the end of the day, look, it just goes back to this. Sometimes you got to jump up and make shots. The one thing, though, that I used to say in football that everybody had decided that Tommy Kelly wasn't any good. And obviously the NFL thought he was because they paid him a lot of money. But everybody had decided that Tommy Kelly and later Ronald Fields, remember him, defensive lineman under Kroom?
Yeah.
Actually started pre-Kroom. But they came with this idea that, man, those guys had a bad game. Those guys didn't do anything. Well, they heard that, and then every game you left for the next 2 years, well, Tommy Kelly didn't do anything. Tommy Kelly could have had four tackles and a sack and batted a pass down, and half the crowd would have left saying,
"He's not
Tommy
good.
Kelly didn't do anything.
But he could blow somebody up.
We've gotten to that, yes. We've gotten to this idea, unfortunately, where some people just get stuck with the same narrative and it's you just can't shake it. It's going to follow you. Even if your pitchers throw well, we didn't pitch well enough. I think of Tommy Kelly, I think of Ronald Fields in football. It didn't matter what happened. You left the game and people were going to say he didn't do anything. It didn't matter what he had done. They were still going to say he didn't do anything because that's what they had heard.
If you walk two guys in a baseball game, walks killed us.
Yeah, walks killed us. We shot free throws. Yesterday, we were 19 of 25. 19 of 25. Free throws wasn't our problem. We shot three-pointers. We were 8 of 20. We made more shots than they did. You know what happened? We just didn't I say we made more shots. We made one fewer. We shot it about the same. We shot free throws about the same. We just didn't get the one play defensively that we needed here or there.
No, just didn't get stops. I mean, how many times did we sit there yesterday thinking, we got to have a stop right here, and then South Carolina would, you know, get a high percentage shot, and they got looks at the rim close in. Now, they hit some threes. They hit 9 threes in the game yesterday. I thought the three to start overtime was a huge shot for them.
But it felt like they just kept making big shots. Well, we finally take a lead, and it lasts what? One trip down the floor?
Yeah. We had a lead for 17 seconds, and that was it. 17 seconds, one possession. They led for 38-36.
By the way, there was some discussion yesterday that we should have started and played Isaac Stansbury. Would you have been on board with that?
I love the family. Love Mio and Rick as people. Yeah. I would probably disagree with that.
I think disagree is probably the nicest word I can say. Because here's what it goes down to. Imagine if you had played a walk-on.
Imagine if you
of any kind.
I think the comment was playing for a quarter of the game.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
that's 10
look,
minutes.
Here's my gripe. We only got Keyshawn Murphy 2 minutes, and we're wanting to give him 5, 10. No, it's just, man, this is not – it's sitting SAY, man. It's not upwards.
Well, could you imagine if – yeah, okay. So now we go to Nashville, and we play LSU, and you win that game, you get Tennessee. The good thing is you get that first game of the day. I like the first game of the day. I like playing at noon. It's better than playing the last game of the night. Ain't nothing worse than playing in the SEC tournament, basketball, baseball, and that last game of the night.
Really? I like the night game in the basketball tournament. Very different than baseball to me.
I know it is because it's kind of a defined time, but it's still getting started at 8:30, 9 o'clock if you play that last game. I'm getting too old, Charlie. I can't – Of course, you know, hey, it's daylight savings time. It's not going to feel like 9 o'clock this week. That's a good thing. But, so we're the 8-9 game. We win. We play Tennessee on Friday at noon Central time. And so that's kind of how basketball shakes out. All right. Hey, man, we said yesterday or Friday when we had our weekend preview that we need to win all three this weekend. And so far, we are 2/3 of the way to doing that.
And we're going to win today. I'm calling my shot.
I'm going to go
we're
back.
We're not going to just win. We're going to 10-run rule today.
Okay, I want you to timestamp this so nobody could think. This is Sunday, March the 10th, and we are playing Evansville.
Yes.
And we are going to win today.
And it's going to be in 10-run rule fashion.
10-run rule is in effect this weekend.
Yes. And today we execute the 10-run rule.
Okay. I'm fine with that. I'm good with that. I thought Cal Steven – pitched well yesterday, pitched to contact yesterday, didn't have many strikeouts. We played well in the outfield. I still can't believe we got that game in on Friday, and it rained all day Friday. And we just kept waiting and waiting and waiting, and then we were able to play.
All right, so here is my question to you. In hindsight, what are you going to do? Would you have played it?
Oh, in hindsight, yeah.
I mean, we didn't have anybody there. Do you care about the fan experience at all here?
Well, I do care about the fan experience. And, you know, too. Yeah, I do care about the fan experience. But, I mean, playing a doubleheader. Hey, if we'd played a doubleheader yesterday, it would have been miserable for everybody. It was cold yesterday. How much more of a fan experience you're going to have last night at 9 o'clock when it's 40 degrees and the wind blowing? Because you had to play a day-night doubleheader yesterday. You had to start at 4 and play the doubleheader afterwards.
Why?
Because you had basketball going on at 1:30.
What's wrong with today?
Playing a doubleheader today?
Yeah. Because you get too close to the LSU series, is that it?
Well, and two, it's – you don't like
playing – Nice and sunny.
You don't like pleasant, playing doubleheaders on Sunday. Nobody likes doubleheaders on Sunday.
No, I get it.
So, yeah, I would have played it on Friday. All right, Nate Dome had a good outing, goes back out for the 7th inning, comes out of the game, shaking his hand.
It was quite scary for a moment, wasn't it?
It was quite scary for a moment. Now, then he was telling everybody, you know, he's okay. I mean, hey, those are things. We have no update, and you're not going to have an update until sometime during the week. We don't know where it is.
You got a good vibe, though, didn't you?
I got a good vibe by listening to what happened and what was said after the game.
But by good, I don't mean – I don't – but by good, I don't know whether that means, hey, he's out a week, 2 weeks, maybe misses a start, or he's running around like nothing ever happened. I didn't see him yesterday. But the fact that he's not in arm brace, is moving around.
Yep. He had a little bit of a scare last year and was able to come back late in the year. Of course, that has no bearing on what may have happened the other night. Dakota's getting hot.
Huh. And to think about a week and a half ago, we had people lined up wanting him to be benched, that Dakota needed to sit for a few games.
I tell you, I know somebody that wanted him being benched. Is that guy was standing out there yesterday trying to buy a shirt in the merchandise tent and the ball, like, caroms off his arm. It's a, hey, we're
center field.
We're 500 feet away. Let's put the merchandise tent where nobody can hit it. And then all of a sudden, like, oh, we got a guy can hit that.
But think about that. It goes back to the point of having to understand how guys are. We had people who actively were making the argument that Dakota Jordan needed to be sat for two games. We talked about it last week. He already led your team in OPS, and now he's leading your team in about everything.
And Hunter Hines is hitting the ball, baseball much better. He's had a good weekend this weekend, and it's good to see Hunter getting heated up, because when you got two guys in the 3 and 4 spot in the order that begin to hit, then that just changes everything. The way that people around you, the way you have to pitch to the 9-hole hitter, the way you have to pitch to the leadoff batter. Because if you got, you know, two guys in your lineup that can really hit the 3 and 4, it changes things 3 or 4 batters ahead of them. The way that the pitchers pitch to the batters.
Well, I think you could make, obviously, Dakota heating up has been a really big deal. I still think you can make an argument that the biggest reason we've gone on this run.
David Mershon?
Yeah. I mean, putting him in the 2 spot, extending your order.
Yeah.
You move everybody back one. Kohler's not hitting the way you want him to right now, but he can heat up. The thing he has done, though, is he hasn't had an error at third base. And if there's one thing we've seen over the – it's kind of like what I say about basketball officiating. I've seen a lot of bad officiating in women's basketball, so my expectations are low. I've seen a lot of bad defensive third base play. My expectations are low. And to have somebody come in and play it like he has, to have somebody come in and play short like Cup has. You know, the only error that has been on Cup was not even his fault.
No, it wasn't. It was – cut play and a throw, and that was it. A throw by Kohler when they were saying, hey, you know, Cup should have been on the bag, and that was last weekend.
But if you go back and look, how many errors do we have in terms of just fielding the baseball and making the throw?
Not very many.
So I'm just looking at the error list right now. Amani Larry's error, that came on a rundown. Hunter Hines has got a couple. One of those came on a rundown. Connor Hyzak missed a ball in center. Dylan Cup has an error. That was – in a cut and a throw. And Nate Chester has one. So 2 errors, I think.
Okay, all right. Hey, we talk about Cup. We talk about Kohler and the ability they've done on the left side of the infield. I think one of the things and one of the reasons that we don't have as many errors and we have been more solid is you got to give credit to Hunter Hines and his ability to take throws on that first base side better than he has in the previous year.
A lot better.
I mean, he's a lot better at picking balls.
I will be honest with you. In game one, where he misses a ball in the air, wasn't a scoop. He missed a ball in the air. And I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. And you know what? He has saved errors over there. Oh, it isn't just that he's caught the balls that are coming to him.
Hey, the last play of the game the other night against Southern Miss. Ground ball, throw it across. That was a tough pick. You get a short hop or a long hop, you can pick those, you know, not easily at first base, but a seasoned first baseman can make those plays. If you get an in-between hop on a throw across that's going to come up about belt high, that ain't easy. And he's made a couple of those.
So I'm pretty fired up about where we are defensively. Now, I think we're a much worse team defensively when Hyzak's not in center field.
We are. We take a step. The whole key about baseball, to me, is you can't go from an offensive standpoint and have multiple guys. You know, you think back to that first couple weekends, and you were getting zero production 5 through 9 in your order. I mean, not only did you have holes in your lineup, you had a chasm in the bottom 5 spots in the order. And the whole key about baseball is trying to get through stretches of the season. You're never going to have a situation where all nine guys are hitting. You rarely have situations where you have, you know, seven guys that are, you know, hitting the ball well. If you have three guys that are hot at one time, that's big. And so the thing about baseball at times is being able to rotate guys in and out and realizing when they're in a little stretch and a little bit of a lull, you need to take them out for a day, and you pop somebody in the order. It's making sure you don't have four or five guys that are not hitting the ball well. And I think, to me, that's the things that Chris Lemonis is – he's pressed the right buttons this weekend about moving some guys around in the lineup, taking a guy out or two here or there. And you may see those guys emerge back and be good in the lineup. You just can't have three or four guys in a slump at one time. And this weekend, while the offense hasn't been great, it's not in a full-fledged slump in four or five places. And, Charlie, speaking of slumps, let me tell you about somebody who never is in a slump. And that's our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville. Cannon Ford, they're hitting it hot all the time. Whether you're looking for a new or used car, if you need the body shop, if you need the service center, they're open on Saturdays now in the service center. Our good friends at Cannon Ford of Starkville, nobody beats a Cannon deal, nobody. And another one of the places we talked about this past Friday was our good friends at Top of the River Restaurants that all started in Anniston, Alabama. They've got four locations: Gaston, Anniston, Gunnersville, Alabama, and it's Mickey, Tennessee, just west of the Pickwick Dam. And so if you're going to Pickwick this weekend for spring break, head over to Mickey, Tennessee for that great catfish at Top of the River, and they get it from our good friends at Heartland Catfish. Heartland producing the finest U.S. farm-raised catfish you can possibly want. It's right there in the Mississippi Delta in Itabena, all the way from their ponds to your plate, and that's our good friends at Heartland Catfish. All right, Charlie, 1 o'clock later today, and then in the midweek Tuesday and Wednesday down in Biloxi Tuesday night against South Alabama. Then on Wednesday against New Orleans, I've gotten to where I really enjoy going down to Biloxi during spring break and watching baseball down there. It seems like we always have a really good crowd down in Biloxi, and it's not just people from the coast. You've got people from Jackson, people from here in Starkville that go down and enjoy those two games we have down there. And that's been a great addition. And, hey, 4 years ago, it was down there where the world stopped. We did a show on a Wednesday night, and that's when we heard the NBA was canceling their season, and that was the last game we played in 2020, was down in Biloxi.
Yeah, it still seems surreal, doesn't it? But it also seems like five lifetimes ago. It seems like a long time ago. All right, we got to get to baseball.
All right, let's go. Hey, appreciate you guys hanging out with us today here on Sunday Coffee, presented by our good friends at Strange Brew Coffee House. And before we go to the ballpark, I'd like to remind you once again to go by and see our friends at Maroon & Company in the Cotton Mill Marketplace. Go to maroonandco.com. There should be some great Bulldog gear. They're getting more and more stuff in that store, and just a ton of people go by before games because it's right there by campus. It's very convenient for your game day purchases, but also online. They do such a great job with their online store. They'll get it to you in a hurry. And that's our friends at Maroon & Company, Wyatt Craig, and the fine folks. They've got great Bulldog Initiative gear. I was at the ball game the other night, saw several people wearing Bulldog Initiative hats and shirts at the game in Pearl. And so hit up our fine friends at Maroon & Company, maroonandco.com. Use the code NIL10. You'll get 10% off your discount, off your purchase, and 5% will come back to the Bulldog Initiative. Our good friends at Country Pleasing Sausage, I have my Country Pleasing first thing this morning. It's down in Florence, Mississippi on Highway 49. Country Meat Packers, they've got the huge butcher shop now, and so make that your stop every week when you get ready to cook outside or grill outside or come to the ballpark and tailgate. And you can also get those great Country Pleasing Sausage Dogs at every Mississippi State sporting event. And so for Cannon Ford, Howard Technology Solutions, Strange Brew Coffee House, and, of course, we're in the Farm Bureau Studios here in downtown Starkville. For Charlie Winfield, I'm Bart Gregory. You've been listening to Sunday Coffee.